Here we go. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I appreciate Mike's heart, Mike's spirit, and just leading us. I'm telling you, I have just a humble spirit, and I appreciate that. Hey, you have your Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to follow along with me. I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua in the third chapter. My little princess, our granddaughter, only granddaughter, loves poetry and reading and all those kind of things. And so she has this book. It's entitled, I'm No Good at Rhyming. And it's full of all kind of little poems and stories and things. And there's been times when Rhonda and I have been over there and she'll just crawl up in the bed with us and she'll read us poems and favorite things that she has in that book. And there's one, it's entitled, The Door. Now listen to this. It's called The Door. A door. Just a door. Nothing more than a door. But it's there. Where you swear there was no door before. And your world is this room that you're comfortable in. But through there is everywhere you've never been. Now, the doorman steps forward and asks, with a grin, are you going out or are you staying in? It's a door. Isn't that good? You know, the new year presents us with a door. It's a door to new beginnings, new opportunities. You know, a door can be a doorway that opens and gives us new opportunities. Sometimes a door that's closed can become an obstacle, a barrier. And so as we approach and as we are beginning now, 2022, that's hard to say, right? Say that together this morning, 2022. Can you believe that we're in 2022? I know you can't believe it because tomorrow you'll write a date down and you'll put 2021. And you're in denial. We're in 2022. And so for some of us, there is this door that is open, that's waiting for us to walk through. For others, there's a door that's an obstacle. It's something that we need to open. It's something that we need to remove. It's something that we need to maybe get over, or maybe it's something that we need to go through. There are times in all of our lives when we need a new beginning with God, a new beginning just in life, just to say, hey, let's just start over again, you know, or just to take a fresh perspective and look on things. You have failed the Lord. Maybe there's been an occasion in your life where you have just been disobedient to God for whatever reason, and something has happened in your life and you have just gotten so far out of the will of God for your life, you just need to say, you know what? I need a do-over. I need to just start all over again. And you may think that that's a little awkward to do. I've talked to a buddy one time, and they had left our church, went to another church because their kids had moved and started going to another church. So they started going to church with them, and then their kids left that church and moved off somewhere else. And he said, you know, he said, I'd love to come back. He said, but it would just be awkward. I said, it wouldn't be awkward but the first time. You know, after that, it's kind of old hat again, right? And so sometimes we get so far out of the will of God and out of touch with God, we think, man, it's just so awkward to start back. Hey, it's only awkward for that moment. And then God refreshes and renews again. Maybe you've just kind of drifted carelessly into the world. You don't know where you got off track. You don't really remember where you made the wrong turn. But somewhere, somehow, you've gotten off into an area so far away from God that you don't even really know where you're at and how you got. You need a new beginning, a fresh start with God. Let's acknowledge this morning that through this pandemic, we've all been isolated from one another and from things that have been normal to us. And in some regards, we've become isolated from God Himself. Maybe through this time, we've just kind of drifted and gotten away from God and Maybe we don't spend time praying as much. Maybe we don't spend time reading God's word as much. We don't go to church as often, and so it's just kind of weird. I don't know about you, but this whole holiday season, the Christmas season, has all been kind of weird to me this year. You know, without the getting together of family and friends and without worship and all those kind of things, it's just been a weird time. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You just say, man, it's just all weird to me right now. We just need to hit the reset button and start over afresh and anew again. You need a new beginning. But then maybe there's the question, how do we do that? Where do we start? Is it even possible to tell you this morning that I'm so thankful that we have a God who is the beginning or who is the author of new beginnings. Amen? As I began reading through the Bible again yesterday, and in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. He is the author of beginnings. And He can be the author of a new beginning for you starting right now this morning, right now today. Even if our circumstances don't change. I mean, we're now, you know, in the midst of another wave of the COVID. We're in another wave, another peak and sickness and all those kind of things. And even though our circumstances may not change, we can still start a new beginning with God today. And that's really the focus of this passage this morning in Joshua chapter 3. I want you to notice how this chapter begins. Then. Now, oftentimes when we read the word then, we just kind of, then Joshua rose early and we just kind of move on. But I want you to really make note of this word this morning. If you write in your Bible, make notes in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline that word then. Because that is really a huge word this morning. It's really the hinge on which the door swings. That word then. It has great implications. That then implies that there was something before and there is going to be something after. Then. That then represents what had happened previously. And what had happened previously? Boy, it goes way back. That then points to a time way, way back. It goes back to God's covenant with Abraham. How God had promised Abraham a land that he was going to come to. It goes back to the time when God told Abraham that he was going to have a son by Sarah. And that son was Isaac. It goes back to Isaac having two sons, Jacob and Esau. It goes back to the fact that Jacob had 12 sons. And it goes all the way back to all of that history and one of those sons being Joseph and the famine and how they left the land and went to Egypt so that Joseph could provide for the family to make sure that the story of God would continue. Goes all the way back. And then he goes all the way back to even when Moses came along. And then Moses led the children out of bondage, out of Egypt. And he had brought them to the Red Sea. And there God had parted the waters and brought them across the Red Sea. And he was about to take them into this promised land, which was only about an 11-day journey from where they were at. And he's about to take them in, and the children of Israel rebel, and they refuse to go in. And so then for 40 years, they wander around in this wilderness area. And Moses dies, and now Joshua is the heir to Moses, and now he is about to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into that promised land that God had promised to Abraham. There's a lot had happened then. Amen? So with all of that, now we come to Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from an acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, they had spent these 40 years in the wilderness. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last four messages to the children before he passes away and before Joshua is to lead them over into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us this land which he swore to our fathers. Moses said, you're about to experience the fulfillment of a promise that God had made many, many years ago to Abram. He has brought you out of a land in order to bring you into a new land. Now, this a lot of people think that the promised land is representative of heaven. That's not representative of heaven for a number of reasons. When they got into the promised land, there were enemies to fight. There's no enemies to fight when you get to heaven, okay? And so really this crossing of the Jordan, this entering into the promised land, is really a picture of a more intimate walk with God. They had walked with God. God had been with them through the wilderness time. Now they're about to enter into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, where God is going to pour out onto them great, great blessings in this promised land. And that's what happens in our life. We're in this wilderness period. We're wandering and being disobedient from God. And we get saved. And God brings us into a new life. A new covenant relationship where he pours out blessings on us. Oh, there's still battles to fight. Oh, there's still enemies out there. There's still difficulties out there. But man, we're walking in a new strength. And we're walking in a new relationship with God. And so our salvation is about bringing us out of bondage, out of sin, into a victorious life with Christ. And you see, sometimes in our life, we get so weighted down with the difficulties and the hardships of life that we lose sight of what God really has in store for us. And so I want to really encourage you this morning. Man, God has really used this to speak into my heart, to encourage me, to give me hope, and to give me joy, even in the midst of whatever these circumstances that we find ourselves in. Listen, I've been there before. I've been then. Today is then, okay? All that stuff that we've been through over the last couple of years, we've got to come to a point where it's then, where we put all of that behind us and we start moving forward. And so here's three great truths that I want you to see this morning in this text. First of all, there is a destination God has determined. There is a destination that God has already determined. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram to leave his family, to go. And he says, everywhere your foot steps, I'm going to give you this land, Abram. And now here we are many, 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 many hundreds of years later, and they're just about to realize that promise. God's never changed the destination. The destination has always been the same from the very first day that he promised it to Abram until the day that Joshua and the children of Israel are about to cross the river. Now, they've been through a lot, amen? That they have been around by grandma's house and back, amen? They have been through the woods and the hills and the hollers to get there, amen? But the destination's always been the same. There was a path that God had for them. When they left Egypt, there was a path that God had for them that would have only been about 11 days. But because of their disobedience, God takes them out through the wilderness. And they spend 40 years. The time may have changed, but the destination never changed. Friend, this morning, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And can I just tell you this morning, with all the assurances that I have in God, God knew long before anybody else did that we would be facing the difficulties of COVID. And it didn't change His destination for you. It didn't change His purposes and His plans for you. This destination, it was a new beginning. It was a new time, but it was still the same old destination that God had always planned for. Listen, a place that you've never been before. God says, He says here in this text, He said, hey, you're about to go through this, and you've never been here before. You've never experienced this way. You've never been this way before. Hey, listen, I went back, looked through some of my journals, writings, and in the very beginning of 2020, I wrote about some of the great experiences of 2019. Man, I had some incredibly high marks spiritually that took place in 2019. And I wrote with great anticipation about what 2020 was going to hold. Little did I know March 15th was included in God's plans. And I remember in April of 2020, and I was thinking, if we can just get to May, we'll kind of have a handle on this thing. Man, if we could just get to May, we'll have a handle on all of this. May came and went. We're in January of 2022. We're still trying to figure it out. But here's the cool thing. God's purposes and God's plans never changed. God's destination for our life has never changed. God still desires for you and I to have this intimate, personal walk with Him. God still desires that we have this personal, intimate relationship with Him. Listen, this crossing of the Jordan River, it's that image again of a Christian growing in a new level of their relationship through Christ. And so often, sadly, Christians, we can talk about the day we got saved, but we can't talk about any other day since then. Oh, I remember April the 5th, 1987, when I gave my heart to Christ, when I gave up all that I understood about myself to all that I understood about Christ Jesus, and how He radically changed my life. But I can also tell you some other days. I can tell you about July the 31st of 96. I can tell you about January of 97. I can tell you about March of 97. I can tell you about the years, through the years, how God has moved in our family and God has moved in my life, and how God has just revealed Himself in fresh new ways. I can take you back to a day when I was driving down to seminary, and we would typically carpool. I had several guys we'd meet there in Brookhaven at the Walmart parking lot, and we would carpool down to New Orleans, down Interstate 55 and across the bayous and the swamps down through there and everything. And I remember as I came through Ponchatoula there one day and was going up onto the high rise there went around the end of the lake there and into New Orleans. And I remember this very vividly as I was going up there was a song playing on the radio. And I won't tell you the song, but I know the song. And I was going up there and the song was playing. And man, I started singing with that song and I had big old crocodile tears just rolling down my face. And I'm telling you, I experienced worship in a way that I have experienced few other times in my life. A lot of things change and we go through a lot of stuff. But we have a God who's faithful. And a God who has a purpose and a plan that's determined for our life. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we're to grow. We're to advance. Your relationship with Christ should be different today than it was the day you got saved. Listen, I may not be where God wants me to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. Amen? And I can't wait to get to where He wants to take me. Because I know there's still more yet. I want to experience all that God has in store for me. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained, or am I already perfected." Tell yourself, I'm not perfect. "But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." That is that Christ has something for me. And I haven't experienced it all yet, but I'm going to continue to press on until I get it all that He has in store for me. Let me tell you how I am. My family hates this about me. When we go on a trip, I begin to plan, and I want to pack in as much as I possibly can. We may never get there again, you know? If we're going somewhere, let's just enjoy everything they have to enjoy, because we may never come back this way again, right? Several years ago, we drove up the East Coast, went up to Washington, D.C., and all around through the Northeast there, went up to Philadelphia and all that, and we just kept stopping. And so we were making our way, made the turn, kind of started making our way back home, and I was looking on the map where we were going to go, what was close by, and all those kind of things. And I told Ron, I said, "Hey, here's a place right here. We just pull off right here. Won't take long. Go by there, see it, take some pictures." She said, "If we don't quit stopping, we're never going to get home." Listen, I want to experience it all. I want to experience all that God has for me. Listen, I believe there's some of you this morning, you got saved and you got comfortable. And you've never experienced any more that God has in store for you. You've become comfortable right where you are. In your relationship with Christ today, there's no more dreams. There's no more desires. There's no more than you could want. Because you've just kind of gotten complacent. I know a preacher friend of ours, they travel on vacation. They go to the same place every year on vacation. They stop at the same place on the way up there, and they stop at the same place on their way home. They do the same thing when they get there every year. And some of us are that same way in our spiritual walk. We come to the same church every week. We sit in the same spot every week, and we expect the same thing every week. And God forbid that He would want to do something fresh and new. Things may change. Circumstances may change. But listen, God has a destination that He wants to take you this morning. God has a journey that He wants to send you on this morning. See, too often we're just traveling in the same circle, the same Sunday school lessons, the same hymns, no new experiences, no new growth. You walked an aisle, and that's the last step you've taken with God. And this morning, God says, "I'm inviting you to take another step." He told Joshua and the children of Israel, "Hey, here's where we're going. Here's the steps that we're going to take. Here's how we're going to get there." And He gives them instructions. And so there is a destination God has determined. But listen, secondly, there are difficulties along the way. Now, the very first thing that the children of Israel incur here is what? The Jordan River. Now, this is no small task. This is not a creek that they're going to wade across. The Jordan River is the boundary between the wilderness and the promised land. And in this regard, it is an obstacle that's standing between the children of Israel and the promised land. So Joshua has led them here to this Jordan. The promised land is just on the other side. They can see across the river. But the river is at flood tide. This is no small river. It's in the flood time of the year. So for hundreds of years, they've been in bondage and slavery. They've been in the wilderness. That they have wandered around, and now they are here. That they have walked, they have suffered, they have prayed, they have talked, they have tried, they have trusted, they've regretted, they've sinned, they've whined, they've cried, they've argued, and now they're here right at the edge. And yet there's this one last obstacle before them. There's no bridge over it. It's 150 miles to walk around it. And they've walked all they want to walk. So how are they going to get through it? God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. You see, more often than not, that's how our River Jordan looks. We forget that this is not our time and our place and our choosing. God had orchestrated. God had brought them to this point in this place. God could have brought them there in a time when the river would have been at its lowest. But that wasn't God's plan. God brought them there at a time when the river would be at flood stage. You see, God chooses and God brings us to the time and the place for our river crossings. And God puts us in that situation so that we can only trust Him to get us through it. It wasn't going to be a situation where the children of Israel could say, hey, look what we've done. Look how we've navigated the river. No. They could only give God credit for bringing them through it. And listen, here's what's really important. The only way across the river was through the river. The Navy Seabees, their construction battalion. They have a motto that says, we build, we fight, can do. And he goes on to say, the difficult we do now, the impossible takes a little longer. We need to understand this morning with God. The difficulties we do now, the things that we think might be impossible, we just trust God to. May take us a little while. May not be a quick fix. We may not get over it this week. It may not end this month. 2022 may not be the last of the difficult years that we go through. I'm starting to get a little age on me. I'm starting to get just a little bit of gray tint around the edges. So I've been through some years. And it seems like every year I think, man, glad that year's over with. Next year's going to be better. There always seems to be good in the year, but there always seems to be difficulties in the year as well. Maybe this morning your river is COVID. Maybe your river this morning is your career. Maybe your river this morning is some financial hardship. Maybe your river this morning is some relationship. I want you to understand this morning, it didn't change the destination. But it's something we have to go through in order to get where God wants to take us. Notice what it says here in this passage. It says, and he said, command to the people. He said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Now, he goes on to say in this passage that the priests take the Ark of the Covenant and they go down into the river. And as soon as they step into the river, the water parts. Now, that's significant for you and I to understand. God didn't part the water before they stepped in. God only parted the water after they stepped in. And some of you this morning are looking at difficulty in the face. And you're saying this to God. God, when you remove this, then I'm going to step forward. God, when you solve this problem, then God, I'm going to take a step in my relationship with you. And God's saying this morning, That problem may not be solved until you take a step. That's what faith is. Faith is taking that step. Hey, the water looks deep. The water looks wide. The water looks impassable. But I'm going to step out anyway and allow God to do something that only God can do. See, so as soon as Israel's feet were dipped into the edge of the water, God acted and the water stood still. And then the people walked over. Listen, we all have that one step, that first step that needs to be taken. That first step, and you've offered God something. Listen, what's your first step this morning? What's the first step that you need to take this morning? Maybe the first step is to offer someone or yourself forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe your one step is to let go of anger and resentment or bitterness. Maybe your life is unmanageable, and that first step is one of 12 maybe that you'll have to take to overcome that addiction or that control issue in your life. Listen, so sometimes the first step is simply just to be quiet and be still and to listen and say, God, I'm going to quit running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I'm just going to sit and listen for you, God. Perhaps your first step this morning is you need to let go and realize you don't always have to be right. That probably doesn't apply to anybody in here but me. Listen, there's difficulties along the way. I wish this morning that I could tell you that if you'll put your faith and your trust in Christ, that if you'll sell out to Him this morning, that He'll come into your heart, He'll save you of your sins, He'll come in to dwell in your heart, and you'll never have another problem in your life. That's not the promise that God makes. But the promise that God makes is this, that when there are difficulties, He will give you the strength. And He will empower you, and He will work in and through you to make it through those difficulties. You're rejoicing because maybe there were some difficulties you got through this year. Here's the good news. The difficulties that we get through, they're just preparations to get through the next difficulty. Amen? And so listen, so there is a destination that God has determined, right? God's going to get us where He wants us to be. May take longer because some of us are stubborn and hard-headed, but He's going to get us there. And there are difficulties along the way. It's not going to be easy. It's not simple. It's just worth it. And then notice, there is a divine presence that's leading the way. Notice what He says there in verse 3. He says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Now that's significant. So you see, what we need to realize this morning is the most important aspect is the fact that God is here. It's not Joshua that's leading the children of Israel across the Jordan. It's God that's leading the children of Israel across the Jordan. You see, the most important character in this passage is not man, it's not the priest, it's not Joshua, it's God. In everything Joshua did by faith, his heart's desire was to glorify God. And so we see that when the Jews crossed the Jordan River, Joshua reminded them that the living God was among them and that they would overcome their enemies. So this Ark of the Covenant, it represents the presence of God, right? It was the Ark that they had been picking up and following through the wilderness all these years, a pillar of cloud and a fire. And so they were following the presence of God through the wilderness. Now, think about this. The ark contained three items. First of all, it contained the commandments. That's the law. That's the word of God. Okay? Secondly, it carried in it bread. It was the showbread. It was to remind the children of Israel that God would sustain them, that God would provide for them. Okay? He would give them enough manna to feed millions of people. Can you imagine what it would look like to have manna rain down from heaven enough to feed millions of people. And then thirdly, there was a rod in the ark. Remember when Korah and Dathan and Abram all came and they were complaining to Moses about who was going to be in charge. And he told them to throw their staffs down, and Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. And so there was this staff that they had placed in there. And it's a reminder of authority and power and strength. In Numbers chapter 17 and verse 5. It says, "And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you." And so it speaks of power. When things come along, and people say we can't, people say we won't, and all those kind of things. Listen, so Moses was convinced that without God's presence in his life, it was useless to attempt anything. Remember back in Exodus chapter 33? He says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here." And so now Joshua, he instructs the priests, take the ark, the presence, representation of the presence of God, and you lead us. And it was the presence of God that went. And when those priests took that ark and stepped into that river, the waters parted. And they went across because of the presence of God there in that place. Now listen. Here's a really cool part of this. Look in verse 4. It says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it," that it is the Ark of the Covenant, "about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." Now, that sounds a little confusing. He says, stay away from it so you'll know how to go. I thought we were supposed to be getting closer to God. Well, here's the picture. So we've got, I don't know how many millions of people that have arrived here at the Jordan. If you go back in the book of Numbers, and they numbered the men of fighting age between the ages of 20 and 50, there were over 600,000 men. So when you consider the men that were over 50, and you consider the men that were under 20, and then you consider all of the women that were there, several million people are gathered there at the Jordan. And so God instructs them, hey, stay back. Everybody back up so that you can see. And as the ark goes out in front of them, they're at a distance where they can all see the priest carrying the ark into the river. They can all watch the waters part. Can you imagine if you were at the back of the crowd? You're in a line and you're in the back of the crowd. Hey, what's going on up there? I don't see anything that's going on. What's happening up there? Everybody seems to be moving forward, but I don't know why we're moving forward. No, God said, I want you to spread out. I want you to back up so that everyone can see. See, here's the cool part. This space would allow all the people to have a view of what God was doing. That's my heart's desire this morning, friend. I want you to see personally what God wants to do in your life, in the life of this church, in the life of this community, and in your individual life as well. I don't want you to hear what God's doing through the preacher. I don't want you to hear what God's doing through the church. I don't want you to hear about what God's doing around in the community. I want you to see firsthand what God's doing. I want you to be a part of what God is doing. Later in his farewell address to the leaders of the nation, at the end of the book here, Joshua gave God all the glory for all that Israel had accomplished under his leadership. This morning, my prayer and my heart's desire is that when you come to the end of your journey, that you will be able to give God the glory and the honor for all that you've experienced and all that He's accomplished. You see, in this moment, it's about you, your journey with God. It's about your opportunity this morning to take a stroll down the aisle, not for me, but for you, for the Lord. You see, it's a door. Just a door. Nothing more than a door. But it's there. where you swear there was no door before. And your world is this room that you're comfortable in. But through there is everywhere you've never been. Now the doorman steps forward and he asks with a grin, "Are you going out? Or are you staying in?" It's easy to stay in, but it's a whole lot funner to go out. Amen? God's inviting you this morning. God's opened the door. God's willing this morning to remove the obstacles so that you can walk through that door and walk in a great relationship with Him. Would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's not easy. It's not simplistic. I can tell you, after walking with Christ now for these 35 plus years, or almost 35 years, that it's not always been easy. I've not always been faithful. Not always been good. But God's been faithful. And God's been good. I've not always followed the path. But God's been faithful to always bring me back and get me back on track. And personally this morning, what I want for you is what God wants for you. His very best. God wants to take you to a place. He wants to take you to a place in a relationship that you've never been before. And He'll show you how to get there through His Word, the law, through the blessings of life and His provisions that He gives you, that daily bread, and by giving you power and strength to overcome the naysayers. And old Satan over there saying, "Oh, it can't be done." God gives you the strength to make it. And so this morning, God opens a door and He invites you. Will you go in? Or will you stay in? Or will you go out? Father God, this morning, we love You. God, grateful for the morning. God, grateful this morning that we have a God of new beginnings. Father, this morning I thank You. God, that there was a point in time in my life when, God, the old things passed away and all things became new. And God, I thank You for those seasons in my life, God, where the old has continued to pass away. And God, the new has just grown more and more. And Father, this morning, I know there's individuals that are watching, individuals in this room, those that are listening on the radio. And God, some wonder, can I start over? Can I have a fresh beginning? And God, I pray this morning that You have spoken into their heart and into their life. And I pray, God, this morning that they can know that they know that they know. God, they can have a fresh new start with You today. God, maybe some for the very first time, God, will give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about You. And God, they'll trust You for the very first time this morning as their Lord and Savior. And God, they'll commit their life to living in obedience to You. God, for others, they'll take that next step. God, they'll say again today, afresh and anew, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I surrender. Yes, Lord. I give it all to You. Yes, Lord. I want to walk through this door and have a fresh new day with You today." Father, this morning, have Your will in Your way. Father, I'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, I love you, and I ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation this morning. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning. Maybe right where you're at in your seat this morning, you would take that next step of faith. Maybe you take that first step of faith, and you'd say, Lord, today, I trust you. As we stand to sing, would you come this morning? God offers you a fresh new start. There's a door.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, only Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender.
Hey, let me just make you aware. I know that some of you got your newsletter, and we're encouraging you, inviting you to read through God's Word this year, something fresh and new. And I know I'm using a YouVersion Bible app, and we have the plan that's listed on our calendar that we'll mail out. We have it in the bulletin each week, so if you don't do electronics, you can still follow along. If you do electronics and you'd like to follow along and maybe ask questions or share notes or something like that, we have the means to do that. So if you would like to do that and you've not signed up for that, hey, see me today before you leave, and I hope you get plugged into that. Or you can call me this week and we can get plugged in, get connected together as well. But I want to encourage you to do that. Hey, listen, so delighted for those that have been watching today, for those that have been listening today on the radio. We're so delighted and thankful that we have that means to be able to communicate and share our worship services with others outside of this building. Thank you, folks, for being here today. I'm praying God's richest blessings for 2022. Amen?
Amen.
That God will take us in a place that we've never been before. Amen? Amen? That's our heart's desire this morning. I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us this year. It's going to be an exciting year. I know it's a little crazy right now, but hey, it's been crazy, right? And somebody said, I'll be so glad when we get back to normal. I hope we never get back to normal. I pray that God uses this time to change us to where our normal is nothing like it used to be. Amen? Amen. Hey, be aware as we move forward in the days ahead, things that may change, and so we'll try to communicate the best we can. If you have questions, concerns, or something like that, feel free to call on us. Our doors are always open. Amen. Hey, Mike, let's sing this morning as we're dismissed. What are we going to sing today?
"'Tis So Sweet," of course.
Hey, amen. Let's trust Him today.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Now I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.